This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Returning to Mac, your boy K-Mac, KM to 2 a.m. on the fan. Let's do it, man. That's an all-time banger right there. My boy Alex Day in here with me. Alex, this is a good time to qualify yourself. We just flipped the page. It is September 26th. The Yankees will play again. The Mets are not going to play tonight. We'll get to that in a minute. But I always like to qualify myself. It's something I've been doing in the media space forever. I mean, there's a lot of people that are in the radio space, the television space, social media space, and you don't know how they've got there. But, like, just take us back a little bit. Let's go from your college plan days to what you've done in the city. And, I mean, I'll tell the people where I found you. We literally ran into each other outside of the stadium, and, you know, now we've got a little bit of a video buzzing on our Instagram and TikTok. And, man, I couldn't wait to bring you in here tonight. So I'll let people get to know Alex in the next couple minutes before we get back to your calls at 888-808-1019.
Keith, I once again have to thank you for having me on. I went to broadcast journalism school back in the day. I used to be a producer. I was a producer for Duke Blue Devils. Shout out, Duke. I know being a Yankee fan or the Duke fan. No, I'm not a Cowboys fan like Keith, in case you're wondering.
I grew up rooting for the Cameron Crazies and the Duke Blue Devils.
There you go.
Yeah, it is what it is.
And no, I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm a Knicks fan. But yes, Duke fan and Yankees fan. And then I was a producer for the Yankees for 3.5 years. Their video team, I was a producer, shooter, editor, writer. Remember a lot of those Yankees commercials they would have in spring training with the players, coming up with a lot of the ideas for their YouTube channel? I was a producer for them for 4 years. And then I started doing content. I left the Yankees during COVID, started doing content online, and then in the beginning of 2021, caught some fire. And I was doing that for a couple months. I started working for this company called Overtime. You might be familiar with it. You might not. Big time digital sports media company. And I was there for 3 years. I was doing content, doing play-by-play broadcast for Overtime Elite Basketball. If you know the Thompson twins, Asar Thompson, Amen Thompson, top 5 picks in the NBA draft last year. So spent the last 3 years doing play-by-play broadcasts on NFL Network, Prime Video. Do a lot of hosting and, of course, a lot of content covering New York sports, Yankees, Giants, Rangers, Knicks. Of course, I'll head over to Queens and poke fun at the Mets fans from time to time as well. I'll make fun of the Jets fans. I don't want to say the most biased, but I don't hide my biases. You know,
your allegiances should be shown.
My allegiances.
It's not bias. You're loyal to the teams that you rock with.
I am ride or die Yankees, Giants, Rangers, Knicks. And over the last 3 years, I've gained a following online with my coverage of those four teams. That's how we met outside Yankee Stadium. I left Overtime a couple weeks ago. I've been working a lot with Yes Network over the last couple weeks during their postseason runs. So you can find me on my page at AlexDay7 or on Yes Network, which I'm sure if you listen to this, you're already following them there.
Yeah, you're the guy, bro. I mean, there's a lot of guys out here, but I always say the good guys find each other. I was walking in the Yankee Stadium. I don't even know what season it was. Maybe it was the 2021 season. And you were playing this like money game where you were asking trivia questions. And I didn't even want to play. I never want to play those games. But you stopped me and got me to play. And then you finessed me, hustled me out of the cash. And I end up losing and being like, man, that was whack. But then I ended up seeing you online and then running into you at games again.
Yep.
And following your content. You're at Yankee games. You'll be at the Giants game later on today, so will I.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Rangers games, Knicks games, in a few minutes we'll play the video from the Javits Center Fanatics Fest where Alex walks up with a sign that says "What's your take?" and he's wearing a Yankees jersey. We'll kind of pull back the curtain because there's been such a reaction online to this video, and I just laugh because people don't know how it came about that we know each other, and like I wasn't gonna give you a Yankees take because we're both Yankee fans. I'm like, oh, I'm wearing a Nets jersey. I know you're a big Knicks fan, and I just seen Jalen Brunson in there. I'm like, I know what I'm gonna say to get under these Knicks fan skin. So we'll get to that in a minute, but back to your calls at 888-808-1019. The Yankees drop the first two games and lose the series to the Baltimore Orioles, a team that has owned them all year, a team that's been a nemesis the last couple years, a young team that's got some solid players, a team that thinks that they can make some noise in this postseason. And I know the Yankees are going to win the division, but they haven't won it yet because these guys are standing in the way. And unfortunately for Yankee fans that showed up like myself and Alex Day the last 2 days ready to pop champagne and clinch, we didn't get that because the Yankees are running into outs. The Yankees can't make simple outs. The Yankees can't get runners on and drive them in. And that is worrisome. Let's go to Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose? You're on the Fan.
Your Keith and Alex was really good.
Yeah, whatever.
Chilling, you know what it is. Another L, so we just got to write it out. But I'm kind of here to talk about what I'm seeing for the playoffs, what I'm feeling. It's in the air. I'm wearing a hoodie inside, and I don't have my AC on. You know what it is. Like, personally speaking, I kind of think the teams we really – like, Baltimore doesn't seem to fear us. From 2017 till about 2021 – we won 80% of the games we played against them in the regular season. Soon as they turn the page in 2022, they're not scared of us. And the Royals and Detroit play us tough. They have a good bullpen, Detroit, and the Royals have good starting pitching. I'm not concerned about the Astros. I don't think they can handle Soto and Judge back-to-back in the order.
We should be concerned about everyone. We cannot look at any single team in this American League and say, we're good. Because that's how we were looking at the Orioles just these last couple weeks. They're burying themselves. They're not a threat. And then they come to Yankee Stadium and take the first two games.
Wait, Moose, you're not worried about the Astros?
I went to the game where Verdugo hit that 3-run homer in the bottom of the
in
first.
May?
And in May? It's a different time. The landscape of MLB has changed.
Verdugo hits 3-run homers?
In some alternate reality, you tell me if we're currently in that reality or we transition post something happened in the world. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
Moose, I have a question for you. What do these years have in common? 2015, 2017, 2019, and 2022?
No rings.
Yeah, no but rings. What team eliminated the Yankees and stopped them from getting a ring in those years?
I just don't think the Astros are that hungry.
Trash cans were involved. They were involved, but you got to take them
seriously. You have to take them seriously. No matter who they're running out there, that's been the team that's stood in the way.
Did you go to those postseason games?
I mean, some of the rowdiest games, every single one.
I didn't go to all of them in 2017. I went to one. I did go to all of them in 2019. I did go in 2022. I went to the wild card game in 2015. There is something about the Houston Astros. We can joke and talk about buzzers and trash cans and cheating. There's something about the Houston Astros when we get to October, their fan base, Minute Maid Park down there in Houston, that is their time. There's a reason why they've gone to 7 straight ALCSs and are trying to make it 8. There's something about their fans showing up here in New York with those stupid-ass Cowboys hats. Like, they have the big cowboy hats, like with the orange ones with the flaps in our stadium.
Looks so stupid.
They wear space helmets. There's something about October with those guys on the team, whether it's Bregman, Altuve, they turn it on and experience plays. Our own Yankees that we grew up idolizing, Jeter and those guys talked about how when October came, they knew what time it was because they had done it before, round after round, advancing. And this Yankees team, okay, Rizzo has a World Series from when he was with the Cubs in 2016. Soto has a 2019 World Series from when he was with the Nationals. Both of those teams were different looking teams than these Yankees. We can't say that these Yankees have that winning championship pedigree.
I mean, even in these last couple runs, Judge since 2017, Glaber since 2018, who else in the lineup? I mean, of course,
Stanton,
DJ.
We got to always throw out there, of course, Stanton has great postseason numbers. Okay, what if he doesn't have a great postseason run this year?
Yeah, you have a lot of guys who this will be their first time going through it. Jazz, Wells, Volpe. So, yeah, of course there are questions. This is going to be
Dominguez.
We'll get to this in a second, but Keith, game one, ALDS, who's your left fielder?
For me, it's Jason Dominguez.
Mm.
Alex Verdugo, you can't sell me.
Would you rather have the high ceiling or the high floor? That's really the question.
Alex Verdugo is as mid as it gets. I don't think they're.
But I think he has a higher floor.
No, look, I look at Verdugo right now as ground into double play, leads the league in grounding out to second base. I look at Verdugo right now, like I just joke, oh, Verdugo hits 3-run home runs. That guy is gone. But you know what they'll say? Oh, when he was in Boston, he did it in the postseason. He's postseason proven. They're going to put him out there. But for me, I would have had Jason Dominguez playing left field in Yankee Stadium every day since they called him up, because they told us when he comes up, he's going to play every day. They told us there was no lane for him because when he comes up, he would have to play every day. The more reps that the young man gets out there, the better he's going to be. It's tough, man. We have seen it. That's why I jokingly said it's the curse of Brett Gardner. They have thrown out 20 different guys since Gardy was patrolling left field, and we've seen so many errors and mistakes, and it's continued. It is continued.
I'm agreeing with you, but kind of in a way that I wish I wasn't agreeing with you. Take the first inning tonight. Dominguez drops a ball. Of course, that's a ball that Verdugo catches probably 10 times out of 10. You look at the lineup depth, Dominguez is going to provide way more than Verdugo is. But look at these September numbers. Austin Wells in September, 123. Giancarlo, 193. Jazz, 205. These are the three guys hitting behind Judge and Soto.
That's their batting average for September?
Those are their batting averages in September. They do not have the lineup depth where you can have a defense first left fielder in Verdugo. Nah, you need the pop that Dominguez brings. You need that spark, and right now you need that upside that Dominguez has, but you're also playing the risk of he could easily have a first inning like he had tonight in game one of the ALDS.
Two things for me. Dominguez hits home runs. I don't know how many postseason games we've seen decided by who hits the long ball, who hits the timely home run to put the team up. Dominguez can do that. Second thing for me, Verdugo is on his last days as a Yankee. His time here is expiring. When the Yankees get eliminated, or if the Yankees win the World Series, Verdugo is gone. Dominguez is coming back.
Yeah.
Put the kid out there. Invest in your future. This is a kid we've been waiting to see. Let him take his lumps. I'd much rather watch him fail than watch Verdugo fail.
That's a great point. Experience is valuable. And you hope that this time next year, no matter how it goes for Dominguez, no matter how it goes for Volpe, for Wells, Jazz, that these guys will all learn from the October they're about to have, good or bad, and they'll take it to 2025.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It is discouraging that we are at this point. October is less than a week away, and there are so many concerns from fielding to base running to guys in the lineup going cold, and even just debates over who should play. The lineup should be set. We should be ready to roll, but unfortunately, we're not yet. Let's go to my guy, Robbie in Lennox. Robbie, what you got for us?
Hey, Keith. Hey, Alex. Nice to talk to you guys. Listen, you know, I had a feeling that Stroman was not going to pitch well tonight, and it's really bad about Nestor, but this is what bothers me so much about this team. It's the inconsistency of everything that they do, and I just don't understand. And I know you look at the averages, okay, that you were just explaining, the middle of the lineup. I mean, Austin Wells is 8 for his last 64, and he bats him clean up behind Judge tonight. That's just idiotic to me. I would have batted anybody else You could have bet. Dominguez is 8 for his last 41, so it's not like he's hitting the cover off the ball. And Verdugo gives you better defense. I personally, I'm a defensive guy, but I can understand with Verdugo, you know, Browning at the double plays. To me, that's a ninth place hitter the other night. He should have bunted and got those guys over. It's just something flawed about this team. It's I don't know what it is. It's like, I can't put my finger on it, but like every year, it's just mistakes after mistakes, defense mistakes.
Because it's allowed. When you're allowed to go out there and do whatever.
And I hate Aaron Boone. You know, I can't stand Aaron Boone. I've had enough of him already.
Well, he's going to take up for his guys no matter what. And
drives me crazy, that post game.
We got to live with it. It is what it is. But like I'm saying, thanks for the call, Robbie. When you're allowed to go out there and run into outs over and over, and your starting job is there, and you're not sent down or you're not benched, it just breeds this like, it breeds this like, oh, everybody can do that. Everybody can go out there and freelance, do what they want, you know, not make plays, and they're safe, they're comfortable. That comfort is the enemy of progress. Like that comfort level that these Yankees have, I've talked about it so much, how much I think that these guys live off the past. These guys live off of the Yankees that came before them. And the Yankees that came before them, like, they wanted to win so bad that they were uncomfortable losing. These guys lose, and they say, it's just baseball. We'll get them tomorrow.
I kind of am going to throw a weird analogy out here. When you want to build a football team, if I were building a football team, I would start with your offensive line and defensive line. And to me, that's winning baseball. That's fielding. That's base running. That's small ball. That's moving the runners over. That's doing the little things. If you build a team with your wide receivers and your running backs first, you're going to count on them a lot. It's not a great way to build a football team. If you're just hoping you're going to outslug the other team, if you're hoping that the errors don't catch up to you, if you're hoping that you run into an out, it's, you know, it's fine because next inning we're going to hit a two-run homer. Not a sustainable way to build a football team, build a baseball team. And you're playing with fire, and these things show up at the worst times. They show up a week before the playoffs, and you have to hope that Judge and Soto have nights like they had tonight. And even still, score 7 runs and you lose 9-7.
You're going to lose games. The Yankees are going to lose more games. Like, it's just time to tighten up, man. It's just we're at the end of the rope here. We're at the end of the season here, and you wish that they were playing better at home. You wish that at this point in the season that they could handle business. And right now, they're trying to clinch. And they haven't done it. And there's so many things that you can point to and say, nope, this is not good enough. Nope, that's not good enough. Nope, this is going to rear its ugly head in the postseason. Like, the Yankees are 42-35 at home this year. They're 50-31 away. They're going to have home field advantage. And being in there the last two nights, I'm like, what good is having 40,000 to 50,000 Yankee fans? Because if you're not getting it done, the Boo Birds were activated tonight. If you're not getting it done, they will turn on you.
Keith, you said it's allowed. If you were manager, how would you have handled Glaber this year?
I mean, they tried, right?
No, but I'm curious. Because in some ways, they did try. They benched him. And then
general manager, I would have been traded him. But like for Boone, you can only put the guys out there that you have. I don't know who else they were going to put at second base. It's been Glaber. There's been this just unwavering Gleyber Torres is the guy. Gleyber Torres is the guy. I was at that game against Toronto when Stroman pitched, and Gleyber thought he homered, and he hit the ball off the top of the wall, and he didn't hustle, and Boone pulled him to make an example out of him. Now, like, that is different than, like, not hustling. He thought he homered and pimped it. They made an example out of him. I guess he locked in after that. He turned into a better leadoff hitter. But listen, like, it is in his baseball DNA. Some people on WFAN have called him not a winning player, a bonehead, whatever. I'm not saying that. It's just like what I say about Gleyber Torres is he is inevitable. He is going to do something. It keeps me up at night. He is going to accidentally do something like he did last night. You can't go back to third base three times. It is in his baseball DNA to just have these mistakes, these errors, and these just like brain lapses where it's like, bro, you could be such a good player if you just took that out of your game. He has become the leadoff hitter that we wanted him to be in the beginning of the year when DJ got hurt and he took that spot. And then they had to put Volpe there. He's become that at the end of the year because I felt like, okay, this is his last hurrah, his farewell tour as a Yankee. He's finally just playing free. But even playing free, he's playing like with his brain turned off and just always finds a way to either, you know, run into outs on the base paths or make a lazy throw to first or boot a tailor-made double play. Like we have seen it for years.
100%. And I think just bringing it back to Boone for a second, because I am frustrated with Boone, just like many other Yankee fans are. But the last caller who just called in, I'm forgetting his name right now.
Robbie.
Boone doesn't have that much input on the lineup. He probably has some input on the lineup. He's talking about Wells batting fourth. A lot of that comes from upstairs. You talk about him being okay with a lot of the play. He benched Glaber this year. Some of the onus has to fall on the guys. You got to at some point own it.
And, no, it does. All of it does. They got to play a lot better. These are multimillionaire baseball players that play for the New York Yankees that I literally was saying, like, these guys live off of the Yankees of past. You got to get it done. With Gleyber Torres, there is no recourse, right? They've tried to do things. They tried to bench him one day, then he's right back in the lineup. This is what he is. This is the Gleyber Torres experience. We're going to see this thing through the rest of the year, and then they won't bring him back.
Right. Like, if you want to say, okay, the Yankees need a new voice. Boone's been here for 7 years. They need a new voice. Fine. But
Boone isn't going anywhere, though.
Boone isn't going anywhere.
I've been saying that all season. People think this is the last year of Boone's contract. It is not. They are a first-place team. They're going to be the one seed most likely. Boone is back.
Boone doesn't make a lot of the lineup decisions. Boone doesn't make a lot of the personnel decisions. And, you know, Glaber gets caught in a rundown between third and home. Boone's already benched Glaber this year. Boone's not deciding. Like,
and he's got to take off.
I'm kind of, like, tired of pointing the finger at Boone.
Yeah, and I'm not blaming Boone, but in the past, when I talk about the culture, when I talk about them being comfortable, when I talk about things being allowed, I have no idea what the conversations are in Boone's office. We know over the years we've heard like somebody was late to meet the press or this was going on, so clearly Boone was talking to him. Nobody will ever get to know what Aaron Boone is like with his players behind closed doors. But what we do know is it's not always effective. It doesn't always translate into these guys getting it together. I know I couldn't stand watching Verdugo. I don't care that he's hurt, right? Trot down to first base or pick his spots and then Boone, you know, like taking up for him. I'm like, nah, if he's hurt, he shouldn't be out there. If he's hurt, Dominguez is in AAA. Send him up. So, like, I just feel like there is a lack of accountability. I feel like they've been coddled so much that, you know, it's kind of like they're just here. They're hanging out. They're allowed to do it. And I think that sometimes they get caught going through the motions, and that's why people call them an unserious group, because they sleepwalk into a series not knowing, like, oh, the Orioles got healthy and are coming here, and they mean business this time of year. We got to lock in, or they're going to embarrass us.
Look, I can't believe we're having this conversation a week before the playoffs.
It's got to be had.
I was listening to, you know, I'm listening to you talk about this. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. And all I'm thinking is, oh my God, the playoffs start in a week and we're sleepwalking.
But there are Yankee fans, and we'll go back to you Yankee fans at 888-808-1019. There are Yankee fans that say, relax, it's baseball. Look at how many wins they have. Relax. They're going to have the best record in the American League. Yo, whatever. They'll clinch with Cole on the mound. Like, they won the division. It's not, okay, you having that approach and that attitude, like, it's all good until it's not. Lou is in Astoria. Lou, you're back on the Fan.
Yeah, how you guys doing? You guys should go back in the afternoon. In the afternoon drive, you guys are pretty good.
We're all right. It's 12:30 at night. Thanks for calling at night, Lou. I know you heard me on last week around like 6:30, you were calling in, and I was telling you to get your rest, but clearly you're rocking with me tonight, so thanks, bro.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I just want to mention a few things that you guys are not going to be very happy about it. Look how San Diego Padres are doing. Look how Michael King is doing. And Gashioka, our catcher, that used to be with us, okay? Those are moves that our GM have made, which is doesn't make any sense. You get a guy like Jazz, okay, which now Aaron Boone today on social media said that he reminds me of Ken Griffey Jr. I almost threw up. Did you guys ever look at the back of his baseball card?
Because Jazz, when he hit that home run in Seattle, he did the, like, Ken Griffey Jr.
I know, but he was just high. He never played with 40,000 people in Yankee Stadium. Every guy that comes to the Yankees, they do very well because it's an excitement. But then, you know what? They settle in. The only thing that I think that kept it out
the pinstripes get heavy for everybody. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Except Juan Soto.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't understand. You bought his jersey, I heard, from Evans, and you got very upset when I told you that.
I bought the player T. The player T out of the Yankee club. I don't even know what it cost.
That's like $25.
I needed the player T.
Yeah.
And I like the 13. I mean, I like the 1-3.
I mean, listen, T, I know that our second baseman is bad. When the right fielder, okay, a young guy who's 25 years old, one-dimensional player.
Yeah, Juan Soto.
The worst outfielder.
Oh, my goodness. With the adventure. Juan Soto, I can only do $45 million a year, brother. But you know got to be better in right field defensively.
You know why? He doesn't get underneath the ball because he doesn't have the speed, and he gets away with it.
Ball's flying over his head. He's bobbling the ball around.
It's like, I wouldn't give him $600 million to a guy that's a one-dimensional player and can be a DH. To me, if I was running a team, he'd be my DH. He's a great offensive player.
Not at 25, going on 26.
I hope your family's doing great.
We are. Thanks for the call, Lou. 888-808-1019. Yeah. Juan Soto is not above reproach. Back-to-back nights. Last night, now 2 nights ago, where were you going? Running the second base. And then, of course, Gleyber Torres said, I was trying to protect Soto. Soto, what are you doing, bro? Judge is coming up. There's no reason for you to stay put. Tonight, what are you doing, bro, when that ball is hit over your head, taking bad angles? What are you doing, bobbling the ball? Are you not ready? Are you not locked in? Like, we need to be better at this point in the year.
I think before Soto was a Yankee, of course, we've all seen a lot of Juan Soto, but when you're watching him every single night, your opinion changes on him. I think from watching him this whole year, I've thought, wow, this guy is an even better hitter than I thought. We know he's a great hitter. You look at the stats, his baseball card, unbelievable hitter. I also kind of thought he's a little bit of a better athlete. Like, he makes a lot of, he doesn't look that clean in the outfield, not that clean of a base runner. But you said something interesting during that call. You're not going over 45 mil.
Yeah.
Keith. What's the hardest thing? What's the hardest thing to do in sports?
Play quarterback. Hit a baseball. Play quarterback.
Hit a baseball. And you know what? There's probably, you can count on one hand the number of guys who can hit a baseball better than Juan Soto. I'll deal with the other. You know what? He misplays the ball in right field. Fine. He makes a base running mistake. Fine. He gets a little more leeway than Gleyber continuing to make base running mistakes when you're not hitting that kind of way. So
Juan Soto was the guy tonight that hit that line drive into the short porch area. Only place it would have been a homer is right where you got that home field advantage.
Right.
That woke the stadium up a little bit. He can do that in October, but they got to collectively be better. You can't be asleep out there, man. I've seen too many balls this year go over his head against the Orioles. Remember when the Orioles came here, I forget what month it was, and that game that they routed us, and Gunnar Henderson started off, he hit the ball right over Soto's head. And I'm like, this is going to be a long day.
That was July, I think. That was right around the All-Star break.
No, I think in July we went to Camden Yards right before the All-Star break. So a little bit before June, they came here. Either way, the Orioles have been a nemesis. The Orioles have owned the Yankees. That's 8-4 that the Orioles have gone. And they're looking to sweep with Cole on the mound. Cole has to lock in.
You think he does it?
Yeah, I think he does. Because I said the pressure is a privilege thing. And I even alluded to like the fact that like Cole's got to be the stopper again. How many times have the Yankees turned? He won his Cy Young last year being the guy to stop the bleeding. He won his Cy Young last year, like, Cole, save us. So here he is again. Pressure is a privilege, and it is his first time getting on the mound since the Rafael Devers throwing up the 4. I expect him to be locked in, all business, and the Yankees have to win this one.
I agree about tomorrow. Do the Yankees also this week clinch best record in the AL?
I don't know about that. Because, like,
one game up?
I don't know about that because the Pirates are going to come in here with nothing to lose. The Pirates are going to come in here, like I said, on the greatest stage where they're like, hey, it's New York. Everybody's watching. Paul Skeens throwing Saturday.
We know we're the developmental team and all of our best players end up going to the Yankees later in their career.
Sure, there's some history there. I don't know that we should sweep the Pirates. But, like, again, I feel like these guys are 1 foot into the bye week postseason. Like, it's a foregone conclusion. You still got to go out there. Like, you know, on basketball, they're like, oh, they think they can just roll the ball out there. And like, these guys think that they can just stand in the outfield and get outs. They think that they can just stand in the batter's box and drive runners in. No, you have to play.
They need the one seed. They need the one seed.
Agreed. I've been screaming that for months. You need the one seed. You need the bye. You got to win the division. You can't just think that you're going to, you know, waltz into it. You got to go out there and physically do it. 888-808-1019. Coming back after this will be my Casamigos big shot of the night. When we get into the 1 o'clock hour, We will play the viral video with myself and Alex Day at Fanatics Fest talking about the Knicks' chances coming up. And the Knicks obviously are about to be back on our minds really soon. The Nets as well. Maybe just me.
The Nets aren't on anyone's mind.
And before the night ends, we will preview Cowboys versus Giants, Thursday night football. Both of us will be out there in the parking lot tailgating. Keith McPherson, Alex Day on The Fan in New York. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. Man, I hate giving it out to losers when the Yankees lose. The Mets didn't play, but I will give this to All Rise, the captain, Aaron Judge, for hitting his 57th home run and homering 4 days in a row and just being a consistent force and being a consistent player. He did have 2 hits tonight, 3 ribbies. Worked a walk, and man, as we go into this postseason, we need Aaron Judge to carry. I think with all of the mistakes that we know that are going to happen, I think with the errors and all the little stupid things, it's going to be about how they pitch to Aaron Judge and what he does in the postseason. And I've said this about Judge from, you know, the beginning of the season and now, that he's been the silencer, right? When he slumped in April, he got his first career ejection, he went on an absolute tear. And as soon as people want to criticize him or talk about him or say something, he silenced the critics, right? He just had this Paw Patrol, I don't know, he goes on the kids show and he slumps. Then he absolutely breaks out of that and he's been going on a tear. Casamigos, Big Shot of the Night, number 99, Aaron Judge. We're going to need him. We're going to need him. I don't know if the rest of these guys are going to be able to snap out of it. Judge is playing right, though. Like, Judge is hitting at the right time. Judge is handling his business, looking the way you want him to look going into the postseason. So I'll give the Casamigos Big Shot of the Night to Judge. And, you know, now that I mentioned the Mets, this whole situation with the rain in Atlanta, obviously smoking that game yesterday and today, and now this whole thing with Major League Baseball having a doubleheader, right? They're going to have a doubleheader on Monday. There'll be Monday Night Football. I think Monday Night Football, doesn't the NFL have a doubleheader again? Is there 2 Monday Night games again? I got to check that schedule. And then...
only one next week.
Okay, it's only one this week. There was 2 last week. No, there's 2. So we get Tennessee-Miami at 7:30.
You're right.
We get Seattle-Detroit.
Week five, they go back to 1. Yeah.
Monday's going to have postseason implications for Major League Baseball, 2 NFL games, and then the MLB postseason starts Tuesday. 888-808-1019. If anybody wants to weigh in on that, let's go to Josh and Passaic. He's been waiting for a little while. I know he does.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
What's up, my guy? How are you?
Good. And, Keith, first of the Yankees, I can't understand how some people are saying that they don't fear the Astros at all. The team beat you 2 years ago. Still familiar faces there. You know, the Braves have also changed faces, Keith, over the years. Yet they still manage to kick us every single time.
I don't know where the bravado comes from. I've been saying it for weeks now. I don't want any smoke with the Astros. Just because it's not that I think that they're better than the Yankees. I just don't want to be eliminated by them again. Been there, done that, seen that too many times. If it's someone else, it might not hurt as bad. I don't know. I just think, like, in, you know, same thing with the Mets, right? Here it is again. You meet your nemesis, your big brother, the Braves, who have owned you. And even when you think we're rolling, oh my God, you think, we beat the Phillies. We swept the Nationals. We're going to go in there and do... You're reminded that, like, this time of the year, so many years, the Braves just remind everyone that they're better than you. And now you got the weather. That's a plot twist in there with Mother Nature. It's like, not only did the Braves take that game, which was a must win, now you got to deal with a state of emergency down there and going to Milwaukee and then having... It's just... It's a mess. Not ideal.
Yeah, I actually heard someone say... You know that Grimace is the one that brought this hurricane, seeing that the Braves have all this confidence. That times it perfectly. But it's crazy, Keith, because they're playing Monday, doubleheader, and then the wild card starts Tuesday night. Everything's going to be wrecked. The starting pitching is going to be wrecked. The bullpen's going to be overused from two games, and everybody's going to be a little more tired. And you got to go fly, let's say, San Diego, or let's say, or whoever it is, and it could be both teams will make it. And another thing is that this series over the weekend, it doesn't make a difference if the Mets gain one game over the Braves or stay the same. Because both ways, if they're one game or two games up, they lose both. They're behind the Braves. You also wonder, though, if the Diamondbacks, let's say, get swept or something, and the Mets and Braves are both ahead of them, do they still feel a need to play this game? You know, it might give you vibes from, like, you know, if you remember two or three years ago with the Raiders and Chargers, when if they would have tied in overtime, it would have knocked the Steelers out. It's a very, very interesting thing going on. And, Keith, before I hang up, just want to put my prediction in for Giants-Cowboys. My last prediction for the Giants was beating the Commanders by 10 points. Didn't go so well, probably because of no kicker, but I'm seeing the Giants being up by one score with Dak Prescott throwing a pick on the final drive. I know you'll disagree with that, but...
Let's go, Josh! Let's go!
There we go. Thank you, Keith and Alex. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Josh.
Oh, look. You know, I know you brought me on here to also talk some Giants, too. I'm glad Josh got the party started. We're both going to be there tomorrow. If the Giants didn't win week three, I don't think I would feel great about tomorrow. But you know what? The Giants did win week three, and the Cowboys didn't look that great. Your run defense kind of stinks, Keith, all right? Your run defense kind of stinks. And you know what? This Giants team.
I hate that I even have to wear
Giants
that.
This Giants team hasn't had a lot of good.
I don't play linebacker for them.
Hasn't had any momentum for like 24 hours in a long time. And you know what? Feed Malik. It might be a long Thursday for you. I like Josh's
production. Oh, are you guys going to be in there doing the league chants?
We just might. I think we should.
This is what I'll say. When I first got on the Fan after watching the Browns game and then obviously watching the Cowboys Ravens, I'm like, well, if there ever was a chance for the Giants to get right against the Cowboys, it's a short week. You're building. You have an offensive weapon. You have a running back that can run the ball. I don't know if he can hold on to the ball, but like, this would be it. Mike McCarthy snapping at the media. Micah Parsons.
Yep.
You know, Jordan Lewis. These guys are talking to the media about details and just like, you know, kind of basically letting people know that they're not as prepared as they should be.
Their head does not seem like it's in the right place.
You know, Dak is walking off the field yelling at Cowboys fans, like, jump off the bandwagon now if you want to. They're in a little bit of disarray. But what I'll say is this. I went to the game last year, the 40-0 blowout, where it seemed like the ball bounced in every way in the favor of the Dallas Cowboys. Andrew Thomas got hurt, and you guys know what went down. I'm in the parking lot surrounded by Giants fans, and shout out to the Giants fans. You guys are great. The tailgate is great. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. And people are putting in same-game parlays, and they're convincing me Saquon's going to go off, two touchdowns. This is Daniel Jones' year. He just got paid. And I'm actually buying it. But then as I'm walking in, and there's a little bit of rain, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm saying to myself, nothing changes until it does. Nothing changes. I'm like, I've been to this stadium like four or five times to see the Dallas Cowboys versus the Giants, and it's never the Giants that come out on top. Nothing changes until it does. The Cowboys sweep the Giants over and over and over. This is not a rivalry. In the last X amount of years, there's only a couple wins that Giants fans can remember. Dak Prescott is 12-2 against
Keith, you've seen three playoff wins your entire life.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with this game and this rivalry, right? The Cowboys are frauds. I tell people that on the radio all the time because I've watched them, because I've lived with them. When they get to the playoffs, they're one and done.
Bad or fraud?
Bad or fraud? Well, like, see,
the Giants aren't a great team.
And there's a ton of Cowboys fans in this area. There's a ton of Cowboys fans everywhere. During the regular season, it's all fun. It's great for the most part because you're going to win. We them boys. How about them Cowboys? But you know when we get to the playoffs, it's over. It's a wrap. So would I rather be miserable every Sunday, which I enjoy more than any day of the week? Would I rather be miserable and
I'm miserable every Sunday.
Right.
I like the pain.
I'll take the regular season wins knowing that like when the playoffs come, at least I get hyped up for the chance to win. And then I'm obviously defeated when they lose to the Packers. But no, I'd rather win games. The Dallas Cowboys won back-to-back 12 games seasons. Like, I don't think they're winning 12 games this year. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, your secondary is banged up. Your secondary is not going to be able to check. Like, Like watching Banks versus Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper used to be a Dallas Cowboy. He helped train and teach and bring up CeeDee Lamb. Like, so if it's CeeDee Lamb versus Banks, and then Brandon Cook's running down the field, and Kevontae Turpin's a little shifty guy, and I don't know. They got to figure it out with Mike Zimmer and his defense to stop the run, but it's not like you have Saquon Barkley anymore. You have Devin Singletary. So is Daniel Jones going to be able to go, shot for shot with Dak Prescott if this turns into some type of shootout? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, that's my nightmare. But look, the Giants' expectations this year are what they are. Their line that Vegas had them at was 7 wins. Dallas, would you say this is Super Bowl or bust for you?
The Cowboys are not winning a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy.
No, of course. Of course. I'm just saying your expectation. It's like, Super Bowl. No one's going to sit here and say the Giants are winning the Super Bowl. But if
the Cowboys aren't winning the Super Bowl. No. It's Super Bowl or bust for Mike McCarthy. He will lose his job unless they somehow get to the Super Bowl and win it. He's done. They're not bringing him back.
You don't think? If the Cowboys go to the NFC Championship game.
I think they may consider it, but no. I think that Jerry has had his hands in too many things, as he always does. He made terrible decisions with when to pay players, not pay players. That's why this roster right now doesn't have the personnel they need to stop the run to get it done. And, you know, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. There are teams in the NFL right now no one expected to be, you know, no one expected the Bengals to be 0-3 after they went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Now the Vikings are 3-0, the Seahawks. Like, there's so much to be seen. But I don't think that this Dallas Cowboys team is a Super Bowl team. Could they make the playoffs this year? Sure. But, like, that's so far down the road. Do I think they beat the Giants? Yes, because they always come to East Rutherford and win. 888-808-1019. Yankee fans, I'm going to get to you because I know you listen to us rant and talk about all the issues and problems with the team, and we've got those calls. But we also have some Mets calls, some Giants calls. Jeff is down in Florida. Jeff, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I was going to talk about the Mets, but once you're talking about Giants and Cowboys, I saw Dak lost his first two games to the Giants his rookie year, but he actually won 13-1 against everybody else that year, and then he hasn't lost since then. So, you know, it's one of those things, you know, like they say about them in the playoffs, until the Giants actually beat them, and they haven't beat a Frisco-led team since 2016. It's tough to...
Nothing changes until it does. So that's why I can't say in theory, because the Giants beat the Browns, and that's the only win that the Dallas Cowboys have also is against the Browns, and both teams are 1-2, that, like, this is the spot for it. No, because there's something about the Cowboys coming into East Rutherford and seeing a lot of their fans in the stands, and they just will, I don't think they're losing 3 games in a row. I just think that they're going to find a way to win, and it might be a bigger win than we suspect.
Yeah, and I know they've lost to the Jets at East Rutherford a lot more recently than the Giants.
Jeff, what's your score? Yeah,
Sam Darnold, Robbie Anderson.
Yeah.
I remember exactly. That one. Yep.
Yeah. But as far as the Mets go, it's going to probably work out for them. That, unfortunate, but gives Lindor a few extra days.
Yes.
And if they take care of business, Milwaukee, then they might have it wrapped up, but then they could pretty much have their Triple-A.
A pretty big if.
It's a great storyline, too, though, Jeff. Like, maybe Stearns can call in some favors to Milwaukee and say, hey, be a pal. Come on, guys. Thanks for the call, bro. 888-808-1019. I don't know what happened there. I tried to throw it back to him. I don't know, sound like his car or something. The Mets, I think, have been so resilient all year that this is, like, the final boss. Like, this is the final test. Like, you've got 9 lives. Like, okay, you're on your ninth live here. Like, life here. Like, you have to find a way here, or it's do or die. That's it. You got to win these games. It doesn't matter where they play them, and you have to have the mentality. We'll play you on the concrete. We'll play you at 8 a.m. We'll play you at 8 p.m. It doesn't matter.
The doubleheader Monday with the first game of the wild card round on Tuesday is just so MLB.
It's what
so
they do,
MLB.
Man. It's what they do. I was talking to someone in Yankee Stadium about it tonight, and they were like, oh, the MLB could have moved this. They knew. I'm like, no, they didn't want to.
Right.
They didn't want to. I'm sure they had meetings and conversations and calls and talks about it, and they said, no. No, we'll wait. We'll see how the weather plays out. We're not getting ahead of it, but they'll get ahead of, you know, early season games where it doesn't rain, and it's like, hey, we could have played this game. But as, like, the stakes are higher and there's all these implications, it's like, yeah, now we're going to have a doubleheader. And I don't know, at least you don't have to face Chris Sale and whatever. Got to handle business. Enough of this woe is me, The Braves are our – like, go out there, handle business in Milwaukee, and then hope that other teams help you out. I think I saw that the Diamondbacks won tonight, so that doesn't really help you out. But it's baseball, man. It's coming down to these last games. Of course it does. And here's something else I'll say to the Met fan. How many games did you have a lead this year? How many games – Did the bullpen blow this year? How many games were you winning in the eighth, ninth inning that you wish you had back now? And when people say, oh, it's early, it's April, it's May. Well, really, in the case of the Mets, it's June, July, whatever. Or people start touching the money. The NL East is over. Or people start saying, you know, it's a lock. We're, you know, don't make any plans for October. Don't make any vacation plans for October. Well, don't make any plans. Don't make any proclamations, any predictions. Nobody knows.
No, they don't. And when I hear baseball fans have those conversations about, you know what, it's a loss in April, it's a loss in May, you're going to want that at the end. You're going to want that at the end, and all of a sudden you're playing a doubleheader right before the playoffs start. You're going to look back and think about some of those early season losses and rethinking some of those decisions that you made about your bullpen and that time that you lost your shortstop for 10. You know, all these little things, they come back and they add up and they catch up with every single team. I can't wait for Monday. I can't wait for those two games.
I like sports. I've been saying all week, it's the most wonderful time. Let it play out. I'm going to be watching all of this. I can't wait to see what happens.
Is this the best sports month of the year?
October is, in my opinion, because you get what's called the sports equinox.
Of course. Like,
now hockey is back and basketball is coming back.
You have to be a Devils fan, but I'm excited about the Rangers. But yeah, no, I agree. The sports equinox is the best.
Yeah, I did decide to be a Devils fan. It's been interesting so far, and I think this is going to be a good year for the Devils. But we'll table that for another time. Let's take another call before we get to the 1 o'clock break. Let's go to my guy Pin down in Baltimore on the fan. What's up, kid?
Hello.
Hey, what's up? You're live on the fan.
Okay. Yeah, I was going back to before the break when you're talking about Dominguez and Gleyber.
Are you on speaker? Are you on Bluetooth? I don't know. You're coming in like you're actually like talking through like a Chunky's Campbell soup can.
Is this better?
Not really. But go ahead. Say whatever. Say what you got to say.
Whatever. Skip the call, I guess.
No. We want to hear, Ben. Just go ahead. Just in two sentences.
So I think that I agree with you with Dominguez. That he should be, I think, give him like a couple more games in a row where he's in the lineup, and then he'll be doing good as in the outfield.
Thanks and for the call, Pin. Oh, I'm getting paused for a second. It's tough. It's tough for the listeners. It's tough for me to make it out. Like, I would play him the rest of the way. You're at home. You're going to have home field advantage. I'd play him the next four games in left field. The allegiance and loyalty to Alex Verdugo, to me, I just don't, it is evaporated. It never really made sense. I would play that kid in left field every day. I would tell him every day, go out there for warmups, take fly balls, shag fly balls, go up against the left field line, come in and get those ones that die in the shallow left field. I would have Dominguez out there every day for the rest of the way.
That's really the only solution, in my opinion. And I like how Boone mentioned, this is a guy that has all the tools. He has the speed. He has the arm. You know he has the glove. He's misplaying balls that he shouldn't be, and that comes with experience. Give him run. I want him starting every single game, and you know what? That is how you invest in your future, because no matter what happens this October, good or bad, that's going to be a cornerstone of your franchise for the next couple years. He needs this experience. He needs it in left field. He needs playoff experience. He needs big-time at-bats against great pitching. I am completely with you. The allegiance to Verdugo, who, by the way, I'm a fan of. I like Verdugo.
I once was. I was with all the. We're dogs. These guys are dogs.
Oh,
out there.
In the beginning of the year,
I thought it was in the beginning of the season. I thought it was a great rally thing because the Yankees have always had some type of thing, whether it was the thumbs down or the mustaches or like it was always, you know, the Bronxy the Turtle.
Thumbs down was still my favorite.
There was always something, right, that they would rally around.
Tonight Show?
The Tonight Show. Was it Sean Kelly with the horse head?
Oh, yeah, it was Sean Kelly.
They always have had some type of thing where it's like, you know, just to break out of the norm. And, like, they're the Yankees. They're so corporate and buttoned up, right? They don't have a OMG sign when they hit home runs.
No rally monkey.
They don't have a mascot. They don't have City Connect uniform. So whenever they had something organic that popped up, like the "we're dogs out there," and then they would get to first base and their celebration was, you know, putting their two fingers together to the thumb and making the dog, that actually just made me think of something. They were doing the, like, dialed in, like the two fingers to the eyes. Have they stopped doing that now?
That's a good point. I haven't seen that in a couple weeks, actually.
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe they have.
I don't know. I was in a stadium tonight, so I, you know, was looking from afar, and it wasn't like they, you know, were tearing the cover off the ball early, 10 hits. But did they stop doing the, like, ICU dialed in, all eyes on me, pointing to their eyes, 888-808-1019. Now we've opened it up for conversation around the Mets, the doubleheader that they're going to play, Major League Baseball and their decision-making. It actually made me think about the Yankees with the ALDS in 2022. I'll talk about the experience that we had with that. We've obviously opened up the calls for the Giants game, Thursday Night Football only game on. Here come the big, bad Dallas Cowboys who aren't so big and bad. And we're still taking your calls on concerns around the New York Yankees as they need to win this last game to not be swept by the Orioles and to just clinch the East already. Keith McPherson on the Fan, my boy Alex Day hanging out. We've got 1 hour left. Call us up and we'll be right back.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.